From the studios of Books in Motion, this is Rusty Nelson reading Only the Strong, number 59 in the Wilderness series by David Thompson. Now let's begin with Only the Strong, chapter 1. They were 7 rattlers on horseback. They came out of the east and the dawn, wending along the belt of green that fringed the Platte River. In the lead rode a hawk-faced man in buckskins, a fine Kentucky rifle in the crook of his arm. His eyes were as hard as flint. He missed nothing, this man. Not the deer that bounded off at their approach, not the buzzard that circled high in the sky, not the lowly sparrows that flitted and chirped in the undergrowth. The man was a hunter by nature. As a boy, he'd hunted everything that breathed. Rabbits, coons, squirrels, deer, boars, bear. All fell to his swift trigger finger. Now, as a man, he hunted a different kind of game. His quarry didn't have 4 legs. His quarry had 2. He was a hunter of men. But only a certain type of men. Men and women, with black skin. He hunted runaway slaves. Wesley was his name. That was all he went by. He always wore buckskins. He always had his rifle with him and a knife on his hip. Born and bred in the backwoods, he was a product of the forest. Wesley was good at what he did. Never in the 8 years he had been a slave hunter had a slave escaped him. Until recently, he worked for a man called Catfish. But now Catfish was dead, and Wesley had struck off on his own, as much for the money the slaves would bring as for revenge. The slaves he was after were to blame for Catfish's death. Behind Wesley came 6 others, the last leading pack horses. Some wore homespun and some wore store-bought clothes. They all bristled with weapons. Each was an armory and needed to be, given where they were and where they were headed. It was the middle of the morning when Wesley came to a clearing and drew rein. In the center were the charred remains of a campfire. Dismounting, Wesley sank onto a knee and ran his fingers through the blackened bits of wood and ash. "We're a week behind, maybe less." "Damn," declared a man mountain whose bushy tangle of a beard covered his entire chest.
"I was hoping we'd have gained by now."
"Patience, Trumbo," Wesley said to his friend and partner. "We must be patient." A third man, the youngest, a bundle of nerves in a floppy black hat, gray shirt, and brown pants, swore.
"Patience, hell! I figured on catching them by now. At the rate we're going, we'll be lucky to do it before they reach the Rockies."
"Here or there, it's all the same," Wesley said.
"You need to work on your patience, too, Cranston."
Cranston frowned. The day was hot and the heat didn't help his temper.
"The last thing I need is someone telling me what I need."
Wesley stood and turned. And when he stopped, turning his Kentucky rifle was pointing at the younger man's head.
"I'm tired of your carping."
"Now listen."
"No, you listen. Learn to curb that tongue of yours, or you can head on back."
Cranston blinked and gestured.
"By my lonesome? Are you addle-pated? We're hundreds of miles from the Mississippi, in the middle of the prairie, for God's sake."
"Kit Garson could make it back. Daniel Boone could make it. I could make it."
"You were born in the woods. You're at home in these wilds."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?